Blog Talk Radio.
See that thing right there with Jennifer Hudson and the Black Eyed Pea guy, that video, and Joe Biden. Beautiful thing.
Didn't see that one. What is that?
Yeah, you see, it's a YouTube video. Jennifer Hudson singing, and my man, the Black Eyed Pea, is doing the rap, and Joe Biden is talking, and they're kind of singing. Every now and then, Jennifer Hudson sings what she talks, what Biden says. Beautiful stuff, man. Oh, boy. Make you want to shout.
Wow.
How the brothers doing tonight, man? We got a full house, man. We got Curtis. We got the Munion. Hey, Munion.
What's going on, Leon?
How you doing, bro?
How are you doing down there in the Windy City of the South?
Man, y'all don't come see me enough, man. I'm down here all by myself.
You know what they call? That's the DC of the South, Deep Creek.
No,
okay, you know, hey guys, before we get too deep, man, I want to just give. You're doing the cry thing, right, man? We got a couple of people kind of close to us. Passed away recently. First of all, there was Ms. Shalisa Chambers. She was only 31, man. She passed away.
Hey, who's that?
Shalisa Chambers. She would be Kimberly Harrington's niece.
Oh, that came. Okay, well, sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, she would be Kimberly.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And then David Neal passed away. That's
David Neal.
Yeah, man, David Neal passed away.
Oh, man.
Well, man.
And that's then bad. On top of that, both of these guys still above ground, man. As far as I know, Rocky Berry passed away.
Oh, man.
No.
Yeah,
stop.
Man.
Yeah.
No.
No
more.
Not Rocky Berry.
No more.
Yeah, Rocky Berry, man. That one.
Yeah, that's pretty sad stuff, man. Those guys are legends. Those guys are legends.
To the Wavebird family, we're just so sorry to hear about these. I want to send my condolences to Kimberly Harrington. It seems like it's someone, the Chambers young lady in her family. But we're certainly sad to hear this. Wow, these are people we love. We grew up, well, except for the Chambers young lady. She's a little bit, we came before her, obviously. But yeah, David Neal, Roxbury, they probably buried him with his bass guitar.
Those were legends.
Oh, yeah, I'm a legend in their own time, down in Wade, bro.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Sir. Local heroes.
Yeah.
David Neal played basketball, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Man, are you kidding?
Definitely, yeah. That's...
David Neal and Amp.
What class was he in, Robert Joseph? He was he in Aaron class or one of you guys?
He was in Aaron class. Run. Yeah, he was in Aaron class. He and Amp.
Right.
Yeah. Where's Amp, man? Where's Amp?
He's down there. And he seems like he's on Facebook.
Yeah, he's down here. Yeah. Yeah, say it, man. Mm-hmm. And stuff. I want to.
Yeah, man.
Like to welcome.
We may have some special listeners coming in tonight, man. So.
Yeah, man. Like I said,
I want to join you in welcoming people who are coming in and listening, because this thing is really getting serious. So I want to say hello. This is Curtis, Reverend Curtis Gatewood. Of course, I'm just one of the brothers of the four. But thank you for coming in and thank you for listening. But I'm sure Leon would probably take it over. Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to say welcome everybody to the Brothers for Real Radio Show. We do have people already calling in. We'd like to let everybody know the call-in number tonight. The guest call-in number is 215-383-3872. And if you have a question for the brothers, if you would hit the number 1 once you dial in, and that'll kind of raise your hand and kind of let us know you have a little something to say, okay? Is that good? The number is 215-383-3872. And tonight, brothers, I tell you, have we talked since the election?
We talked since the election, but the election hadn't been called since the last time we talked.
Okay, got you covered.
Yeah, it hadn't been called, but of course it has been called, and of course Joseph Biden is the president-elect, and so we ought to give a shout-out for Brother Joseph Biden. Can you clap me, Robert? Where's your clap machine?
I wonder why Joseph, my brother Joseph Gatewood, keeps reiterating the name Joseph Biden.
He said Joseph loud and clearly, didn't he?
Well, you know, you can expect great things from anybody named Joseph, because, you know, Joseph all through history has done great things. Of course, you remember Joseph in the Bible, who was the governor of Egypt and saved all of Egypt and all of the surrounding areas during a famine, of course, that was Joseph. Then, of course, you had Joseph that was chosen as the earthly father of Jesus. And, of course, and you know, after the crucifixion of Joseph, Joseph of Arimathea, of course, he came and asked for the body of Joseph and asked for the body of Jesus and buried in his tomb. And of course, you have Joseph Gatewood.
Well, look, man, I can't get that deep. My oldest sister, Jennifer Estella Gatewood, named me Curtis Everett, I think after her boyfriend at the time. And you all do know that Curtis Blow is out there. And then, unfortunately, 50 Cent's name is Curtis Jackson. So I can't say too much right now.
Hey, move on.
Next. Yeah.
That's a problem.
That's a problem, Curtis. So we're going to move
Curtis.
On.
Hey, Curtis.
Hey, we're going to stop the name calling.
Curtis, I wouldn't have told that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a sad history.
Especially if you're going from Joseph in the Bible, a great liberator, became the governor and freed his family and his brothers and was thrown into a hole, and he ended up saving his family. Go all the way there to 50 Cent. That just doesn't quite sound right.
That don't bode too well for you, Curtis. So we just won't talk about names anymore. But just want to welcome President Biden elect.
Yeah. What about Robert? I think Robert got a few presidents or something out there. Robert F. Kennedy or somebody.
Robert Kennedy.
Her brother
Leon.
And Uncle Robert.
And Leon got punked. We call Leon Punchy, so I guess Ponce de Leon might be something that he can cling to.
Right, Ponce de Leon. Leon Punchy. I told my teacher, my brother was named after. We were talking about Ponce de Leon, because back then we called him Ponce de Leon. And I raised my hand, and I said, that's my brother's name. I got a brother named Ponce de Leon.
They were like, this is not the time. That's not
the first time you got
clean break. You don't interrupt the class to tell us what your brother's name is.
No, that must have been the first time you got kicked out of school.
We were talking about French. We were talking about explorers. And, of course, Ponce de Leon was a French explorer. You know, and it's spelled P-O-N-C-E. That's Ponce. And then, of course, you got the de Leon in there.
Yep.
So I just thought that's the way it spelled Punchy. I ain't never seen Punchy written down.
But you would have had to have Punchy de Leon. But well, anyway.
Yeah, put up with me for just a second. I want to read a letter from the Black Voters Matter group, who was very instrumental in getting the black vote out. We've been working with them since March here in Anderson County. And they've been all up and down the East Coast. Getting people to understand. Man, let me just read a couple of lines for you. Is that okay, guys? This is from Black Voters Matter, the founders of Black Voters Matter. And they say, dear brothers and sisters, during this unprecedented period in our country's history, many people suffering from the impact of COVID-19, rising unemployment, and stark racial injustices in communities across the country, it is clear that America is long overdue for real change. And today, we rejoice in knowing that change is coming. For the past 4 years, Black voters have felt deeply the impact and growing threat of racial inequality, white supremacy, and the weight of injustice all around us. But this election was never about one candidate or one party. It was always about realizing the collective power of black voters to activate change in our community. We stood in long lines, waited hours to vote, faced down agitators at the polls, and fought back against voter suppression locally and federally. And the message is clear. The power we have to control our own destiny cannot be denied. We got the power. And that there's very much, there's a lot more to this letter, but we're going to stop there and open up the discussion tonight. And we do have, thank you. And we do have an increased awareness of our power, of the power that we have to vote, and the power that that vote carries. Now, if you really want to be looked over in this society, don't vote. Because if you don't vote, why would anyone even fool with you for anything? If you won't use your power to vote, why would anybody fool with you for anything? Curtis, I'm listening.
Yeah, first of all, I appreciate you, Leon, the Holler Center, other people who worked diligently with Black Voters Matter. Actually, I bought the Black Voters Matter T-shirt before it became an official organization. I was walking around with Black Voters Matter, didn't know it was going to end up being, you know, the impactful organization that it became. So we want to thank everyone who worked to get out the vote. That is very, there's a lot of hard work out here, and I just want to say my piece about what is going on with the Trump foolishness is, first of all, I think Trump, as he always has, he's used reverse psychology. He uses reverse psychology to put people on the defense so that people will not take the time to scrutinize him in the manner that they should and put him in jail. So oftentimes he would use reverse psychology. Right now he's throwing this thing out here about voter fraud, when we should be raising the question about voter intimidation that he initiated and the voter suppression that he initiated. And the only reason he's upset is because his vote, even with all of his voter suppression tactics, it's not close enough for him to do what he's trying to do right now. He was banking on using so much voter suppression and intimidation that he would have the vote so close until he could do what he's trying to do and start calling and claiming voter fraud and having these recounts and all these other things. But see, so many black people voted, and they voted so strongly until really we got out of cheating distance for him. And so now he's trying to act as if he's going through the same playbook, but it's not going to work because black people voted so much, and the margins are so wide. This guy has 5 million more votes than Trump, and he's out there talking about voter fraud. Ain't that much voter fraud in the world. And then, of course, we don't even have to go to the Electoral College where he's also defeated. So there's not enough voter fraud. What happened is we had voter intimidation, voter suppression, racism that tried to stop the vote. And that's what we're going to need to be talking about soon. Because I guarantee you the reason why these polls didn't go the way they were supposed to, people keep talking about the polls were so far off. The polls were so far off. It showed Joe Biden winning by 10 points here and 17 points there. The polls do not take into account voter suppression. And right, the voter suppression took place. But it wasn't enough to stop that black wave. Everybody was looking for the blue wave and the red wave, but there was a black wave that came through. And wow. So that's why Trump has a problem.
Yeah, the big problem. Joseph, Charlotte showed up and showed out, looked like it.
Of course, yeah, Charlotte, you know, Charlotte has always been, you know, predominantly, you know, progressive city, you know, probably one of the most progressive cities in the state of North Carolina. Of course, and that's evident by all the, by the way the city has grown. But if you look at voting in this country, voting has always been at the foundation of the Constitution, at the foundation of this nation. And voting has always been, as much as it's the foundation of this country, it has always been a source of contention. Because you go all the way back to the signing of the Declaration of Independence in 1787, of course, a lot of people don't realize it, but during that, when the Constitution was originally written, the only people that had the right to vote were white men and white men that owned land.
Right, the rich white men.
They weren't one and the same. White men, you couldn't just say white men.
Nope. No, it was only white men that owned land.
Yep.
In other words, if you were a white man and you didn't own land, you still couldn't vote.
Right.
And then of course, a black man couldn't vote because at that time a black man was considered property. So then, of course, the 13th Amendment freed the slaves. The 14th Amendment gave slaves equal protection of the law. And of course, the 15th Amendment enfranchise black men. In other words, black men got the right to vote in the United States legally before white women did. And of course, right after Reconstruction, of course, the black men were, you know, voting in large numbers. And of course, they were voting in large numbers. And of course, a number of black representatives in the House of Representatives, senators, and even the governor was elected during that period. Then, of course, Jim Crow came in, of course, and then Jim Crow brought on voter suppression. Then you fast forward up to 1920, of course, you know, women did not even have the right to vote until 1920 with the 20th Amendment in 1920. The 19th Amendment in 1920 is when women got the right to vote. So you had a long period of time where women in this country did not even have the right to vote. So, and I'm just to cut this short. If anybody who does not understand the importance of voting, and anybody who doesn't understand why there has been so much effort throughout history to prevent certain people from voting, and to keep people from voting and taking your voting rights away from you, just like, for example, the Voting Rights Act, of course, had to be passed, you know, to stop Southerners from suppressing the vote. It's been going on for years. So I say all that to say this, that black people, you need to understand that voting has to be important if people have been doing it since 1787 to keep certain groups from voting. So everybody should be very vigilant about getting out here and voting, not only in these national elections, but in local elections. Of course, now everybody got to be ready for 2022, because, of course, you're going to have some senatorial races and some House of Representative races. And, of course, you're going to have your local races. So everybody need to be getting geared up for this. And anybody who want to go out here and say, well, your vote doesn't count, yes, your vote does count. Your vote does count. And the only way your vote doesn't count is if you didn't vote. Now, I was my major in North Carolina Central University was in history and political science. And my political science 101 class opened up with my political science professor saying, politics has an effect on your life from the time you're born until the time you die. Somebody has to sign your birth certificate, and somebody has to sign your death certificate. And of course, politics and, of course, voting is going to affect your life from the time you're born until the time you die.
Amen.
I'm saying.
One of the themes of the show I wanted to kind of address tonight was the battle between decency and hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. One of the big things that that you're finding is, now, you guys know how it is. We were trained and brought up to respect people based on their decency. You know, if you was a crook, we were told to stay away from it because
that's right.
Any good.
Mm-hmm.
And you only know a crook by the way he acts. They don't normally tell you they're a crook. People are not gonna come up and announce, "Hey, man, I'm a crook." So you kind of watch them and see how they act, and that's how you determine whether they're a crook or not.
Right.
And it is clear to me, at least, that Donald Trump is a crook. That just tells me to stay away from him.
Right.
I don't trust him.
I know Ronald gonna come in private in a little while, Leon, but I did want to just say this. And piggyback off some of the history Joseph was running down, which was outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to mention the 1898 so-called Wilmington riot, because that was the only coup d'etat to ever take place in the nation. And the reason why these racists became so violent is because black folk were being elected and winning. And so after they had started winning, they decided, and in fact, unfortunately, it was the Democratic Party that was associated with the Ku Klux Klan at that time. The pendulum hadn't swung yet to the Democrats being more open to human rights. So it was the Democrats and the Ku Klux Klan basically working together, and they decided they were going to kill anybody who was going to vote that was black. And so that goes to show you, if you want to talk about the importance of the vote, you just go down to Wilmington, because Wilmington blacks were owning businesses. They were top politicians along with progressive whites. And it became, then the only reason why it was taken over is because they violently suppressed the vote. Ran them out of town, took over, and like I said, it's the only coup d'etat that's ever taken place in the nation, 1898 Wilmington. So if the vote wasn't important, why did racists get with the Ku Klux Klan and take the vote from black folk and took the whole city of Wilmington? So just thought I'd run it out here.
Thank you, Curtis. That was a very important insertion.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Robert in D.C., man. What's going on, man? I know that you guys really came out up there.
Yeah, we had quite a celebration on this past Saturday when the announcement was made who the president-elect was. And that was a celebration across the country. I did want to touch on your topic of decency and hypocrisy. I'm sure many people witnessed commentator Van Jones getting very emotional on Saturday after the announcement. And some people say it was theatrical, and there may be some truth to that. But I think he said and articulated what many people are feeling, that is, regardless of your politics, sometimes we have to put politics aside. We all have our differences about what our priorities are and what we want to see our government do. But there is such a thing as decency. And I think we somehow have been discounted during this election cycle. And that is it's a disgrace when your children cannot look up to the president of the United States as an example to live by. And that's problematic. I don't care who you are, what your political stripe, how you feel about abortion, taxes, war, civil rights. You should feel some way about your child's inability to see an example in the president of the land. That should be foundational. That should be without political stripe, party, or affiliation. And I have little patience or tolerance for people who excuse such abhorrent behavior. We weren't taught that way. We weren't raised that way. And it's hard for me to deal with it now just because of a political affiliation.
Right. It's dangerous. It's dangerous, man. Leon, I think another thing you're saying about this decency, the fact that Trump has told so many lies that you know of, he's even trying to lie about the election that everybody, the whole world witnessed. So the fact that he told so many lies, that's how we know he's corrupt. Because when you use lies, that is the door that leads to corruption, thievery, dishonesty, you know, and of course, if we want to get scriptural about it, that's the way Jesus described the devil. He is the father of lies, and he abode not in truth. He came but to kill and to steal and to destroy. So he is exemplifying what we were taught not to do, because we came from a religious family that actually believed in religion, that actually, not only did they read the Bible, our parents, mama, daddy, but they actually showed their religion through their works. And that's how we could differentiate. We had the luxury of seeing parents who actually tried to do the right thing. There was not a lot of gossiping in our house. We couldn't do certain things even on Sunday. We couldn't even play basketball or do anything on Sunday. We had to do, you know, we just had to have manners. Like you said, we saw the difference. The unfortunate thing, I think, now is that in our communities, after the village has been torn down to such an extent, there's not a conspicuous light that shines with that discipline, that decency that we were exposed to. So when somebody did come along acting a fool, we could say, wait a minute, no, that's not right. But right now, there's just so much muddy in the water and poisoning and reverse psychology and so many games being played while at the same time they're not the parents and the structure of the village that had been dismantled. Now it's more people like Trump can get away with a lot more. And then, of course, not even getting into the institutional racism and systemic white supremacy and all that stuff that they're dealing with over there. But in our house, you know, we could tell somebody was a crook, like you said, right away. We can know when a person wasn't decent. We knew when somebody wasn't telling the truth. And we knew when you wasn't telling the truth, that could lead to a whole lot of other problems.
Yeah. The catch about this guy is most people know he's not telling the truth.
And Leon, I think
that's what's hurting me. That's what's haunting me, because people know. It's not like it's you have to guess. It's not like people don't know. They know. That's confusing me.
And Leon, in one of the biggest lies Trump has been telling, you know, over the past, well, since his election. And of course, especially during the before the election, especially during the election, during the campaign leading up to the election, has been that he has he grew the greatest economy the world has ever seen. Now, of course, anyone with any historical or financial astuteness knows that that's not true. Because he keeps saying it, and he says it in a way as if it is the truth, and seem like nobody is really challenging him on it, even though it's not the truth. He likes to use the stock market as a measure of how well the economy is doing. And of course, we'll use that as a measure, even though it's not the greatest measure, in my opinion. The greatest measure, in my opinion, is how well the people are actually doing. But let's say we're going to go with the argument that he uses, the stock market is the measure. Now, if you look at the administrations of the 13 presidents since the end of World War II, William J. Clinton. Now, of course, he presided over the best stock market return of a 210% return over his 8-year term. And of course, number two on that list was Barack Obama. He presided over during his term. He presided over a return of 182%. And what's so interesting about Barack Obama's 182%, before Barack Obama became president, of course, George W. Bush was the president. And, of course, George W. Bush, he presided over the worst since World War II. Matter of fact, during George W. Bush's 8-year return of the stock market, instead of him having a positive growth, that was 40%. It was 40% in the red. So you took Barack Obama. He took over the worst since World War II and built it into the second best since World War II. Now let's talk about Donald Trump. Talking about Donald Trump. Now he took over the second best. And of course, like I said, Barack Obama during his time, the S&P grew by 182%. Under Donald Trump, it has grown by a dismal 43%. You're talking about over his term, it has grown by a dismal 43% compared to Barack Obama during his term of 182%. And keep in mind, Barack Obama, he inherited the worst.
Right.
And the only reason, and the best year that Donald Trump had, in the best year during his presidency, the market performed the best, was his first year in office. And the reason that it performed the best that year is because the market had not had time to react to his irrational behavior.
Right. The trajectory was on the way of being the absolute best ever.
And exactly. Yeah. It was on the trajectory. Now, let's imagine, because, see, Barack Obama, he had to start, like I say, he had to start with a 40% deficit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, he had to start with a 40% deficit. Donald Trump, he started with a 182% deficit, and now he started out with a 182% positive in the black, and now he's at a 43%, and he's around bragging, telling folks that. And the thing about it is, like I said, nobody really challenges him on it, and it's easy to look up the facts. And why you would just come out and, you know, tell lies about something that anybody that knows how to use a computer, or anybody that has any, financial astuteness would know. Just like, for example, nobody would even have to tell me that because I lived it. I've lived through Clinton, Barack Obama, and, of course, George W. Bush, and, of course, now I'm living through Trump. I know what the deal is without even looking at the facts. But he still goes out and tell these lies. But that's another.
Yeah,
that's
good. That's good stuff.
Check this out, guys. Mm-hmm. After the pandemic is over, which is really wondering when it may be over now. It's really scary. But anyway, after this thing over, man, I really can't wait to get with you guys, man, and have like a cook off, man. I have learned to cook some powerful stuff, guys. I mean, I can cook.
Okay.
Joel, I know you can cook. Curtis, do you cook?
Yeah, man, I'm kind of like you. I think I sharpened my skills out of necessity here. I was going to go hungry.
Right.
So I used to pretty much my menu would be a fried egg and boiling a wiener or something like that. But I think I've gotten a little beyond that.
Yeah. See, guys, the reason I brought that up is because so many people are losing their lives to this pandemic. So many things are going crazy. As y'all guys know, we haven't seen mom in months. We haven't touched mom in months.
Mm.
And that's sad. And some people you said Robert.
No, I was gonna say go ahead. I was gonna just add in that there are quite a few positive things that are happening during this pandemic. People are learning new trades. Businesses are. I just read a report today that we've had the largest cluster of startup businesses probably in almost forever because some people are starting businesses for the first time. People like yourself are learning how to cook. Some are learning second languages. Some are reconciling with their loved ones and reconnecting through Zoom and other things. So I think it's notable and. To find something positive in it. Like your cooking.
It is. A lot of people had to stop playing church. So it's a lot going on.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I read a report and it says how savings is up in households. And they are expecting a large economic boom after this pandemic, is brought under control, because people have so much money in the banks now. People have more money in the banks now than they ever had. You know, people that that are working because they hadn't been spending money on going out, you know, going on vacations and flying on cruises and all that. All that's money in the bank now. And so
I saved more.
One other thing, too, I think we can count about COVID. You know, and Trump tried to take a little credit for it, but it's not happening because anything he's done, everything he could to destroy the environment. But due to the fact, you know, there are less people traveling, there's a lot less going on in the air, the mm-hmm. environment has gotten a little better during this period.
Right.
But again, had it not been for the fact that we had COVID, the environment, since the Trump administration was doing away with everything that Obama put in place that would help to save people's lives when it comes to the environment, he pretty much repealed it. But mm-hmm. COVID made people just get out, just stop doing things for a while.
Right.
And it helped the environment for a while.
And to that point, Curtis, you notice Trump has been, taking credit for the gas prices being down.
Uh-huh.
And of course, gas is a commodity, and the price is driven by supply and demand. And of course,
the people
are not driving as much. They're not buying as much gas. So it's just natural within any economy that if the supply is down, the price goes down.
Absolutely. People are not driving to the office anymore. People are working out of their homes.
If the demand is down, the price goes down. And so people
exactly.
are not driving. And so naturally that's going to drive the prices down. And see, if something else Trump is, being misleading about, of course, and I know he knows that. But he's counting on, other people not knowing that. I mean, the guy just deceives in every opportunity he gets. It's like when I heard him saying that.
Yeah.
I said, there's nothing that you have done that caused the price of gas to be down. But every time he gets up, then, he starts talking. That's what he's talking about. Look, have you noticed the price of gas lately? Like he had something to do. No, he didn't have anything to do with it. Well, then indirectly he may have because he let this pandemic get out of control.
Exactly. Yeah. If you kill about 300,000 people and you get about a few million of them sick, then there's going to be less driving.
They're going to be scared to drive. So I guess in that way, if you want to take credit for that, of course. But that's not the way he is, of course.
Hey, Joe.
Right.
Robert.
Yeah.
Guess what James Carville said about the recounts?
What?
He said, we ain't worried about no recounts. We beat him twice.
We beat him twice.
Back to Hillary, huh?
But what I can't understand though, the Trump supporters up there in Trump supporters in Arizona where Trump was behind, and they were out there outside the election office shouting, "Count the votes! Count the votes! Count the votes! Count the votes!" Because Trump was. Trump was behind, and then of course up in Pennsylvania, where he was ahead, they was outside that office shouting, "Stop the count! Stop the count! Stop the count! Stop the count!"
Right.
And then, of course, up in Michigan, they wanted to protest, and of course Biden was ahead and had already won, so they started shouting. Somebody looked around and said, what are we supposed to be saying?
Do we supposed to say stop or do we supposed to say go? Let's get our lives.
But this is interesting, though. They said that Trump, Trump was sending out these tweets saying stop the count, right?
Mm-hmm.
And really, this is a true story. Of course, what I said was true. But it's just so ridiculous, it sounds like a joke, but it's actually the truth. Said Trump was sending out these tweets saying, stop the count, stop the count. And his advisors pulled him to the side and told him, said, Mr. President, do you realize if they stop the count now, you are behind and you will lose this election?
Exactly.
Trump said, oh.
Hey guys, here's a point worth mentioning, worth noting. during the pandemic and leading up to the pandemic, the COVID-19 was ravaging certain parts of the economy, particularly a demographic known as African American, people of color, particularly because many African Americans were predisposed to things like hypertension, cancer, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, things that were made you more susceptible to getting seriously ill or even succumbing to the disease. Now, yeah, in that context, many African Americans were fearful of going to the polls. It would expose them to this deadly pandemic, particularly elderly and people who had pre-existing conditions. In that vein, many chose to mail in their ballot or drop them off. Those were the last ballots to be received. And as we've seen throughout the election, practically the last ballots. What is happening in broad daylight is an attempt to disenfranchise millions of black voters right before our eyes.
Absolutely. That's that black wave I was telling you about. That was through air, through mail, through and he knew every time those late votes came in, Trump already knew. That's why they're trying to stop the count, because they knew that avalanche of black votes through mail was what was left.
And
you're right.
And black people weren't doing this out of any type of strategy to come in late and be counted late. They didn't want to catch the COVID-19 because they realized the risk of infecting family members and loved ones and grandma.
Well, if you recall, Trump was telling his people, well, he was saying, don't mail in your votes. That's what he was saying. And, of course, his crowd, he listens to everything he says, so they didn't do that. So it's a pretty easy call if you go in there and see a big pile of votes that were sent in. They're probably going toward Biden. You know, you may get two or three. But this just in, guys, the Biden lead in Pennsylvania is now over 50,000 votes. That's a lot of votes.
And far more. I think Trump had about 40,000 more. He's going beyond Trump now. And Trump walking around talking about voter fraud. Everybody knows he's the
problem. I wish he would stop. Joe, let's just say what we said earlier today. We don't want him to get hurt or anything. We don't want him to go to jail necessarily. We just want him to just go away.
Just go away.
Accept the count.
I mean, if you don't go to jail, I'm good with that. Just go away. I just don't want to hear his name. I don't want nobody trying to put him in jail, because you know if you try to put him in jail, even though he's supposed to be in jail, I don't even want nobody trying to put him in jail, because if you try to put him in jail, he's going to have Rudy Giuliani and every other crooked attorney without a job running in and out of courtrooms, tying up the court, getting get the court date put off, continuances. Going to be getting continuances, motions, and all that stuff for another 4 years. So I'm going to just say, just let him go. Just let him go. I just want him gone. Just go. I don't care where he go. Just go.
But that's what he's not going to do, because everything he's doing, he's showing you he's doing it because he has become addicted to attention. That's been his whole life. He was born getting attention. His daddy gave him attention, gave him a payroll to go with that attention. So he's been buying up everything he ever wanted, and he just can't believe that he can be defeated, that he can be beaten, that he can, with all his advantages, he's really nothing. You know, when it comes to a person that's moral, a person that has character, a person that's worthy of being an accomplished individual. So he's just caught on this ego trip, and he just loved these crowds now. He had never had these types of crowds before, because he really haven't had a real job. This is the closest thing he's had to a real job. Everything his daddy gave him, he blew it. And so now he has these racists and militias and cult members that are clapping at his feet, and he's just loving it. It just feeds that ego, and he is not going anywhere. I mean, he's talking about now having these rallies around the country, right here again in the middle of COVID. You know, they're not going to wear a mask just as we get into right before winter, right before we get into flu season and pneumonia season. He's talking about going around having more rallies to push this lie. But he just loves it. He just loves it. So he's never really had this type of attention before. He's been trying to get it, been buying these full-page ads to try to get people killed. He jumped out there with that little crazy stuff about Obama. He was made to look like a fool. So now he has this cult. And now this guy, like you said, that would be a good thing. Now he can't even leave the country. We need to remember, too, what he said about, you know, around October in one of his rallies. He said that Joseph Biden is the worst politician in history. He said, so how can I lose to him? If I lose to him, I'm going to be very sad. In fact, I'm going to have to leave the country.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? He's not leaving the country. First of all, nobody's going to have it because he's so COVID-infected, and he's infected the whole nation to such an extent, nobody wants Americans in their country. That's the sad thing about it.
Well, before we go any further, I want to give a shout out to our sisters from these HBCUs that's out here just really doing it. We can start out with Kamala Harris, Howard University graduate. Then of course you have. Yeah, Stacey Abrams out of Spelman University, and Miss Bottoms down there at Atlanta, the mayor of Atlanta, Georgia, out of Florida A&M. So anybody who said the HBCU can't produce a good product, just look around you. And while I'm on that subject, I don't know how any black man could support Donald Trump the way he has disparaged our first black president and said the most horrible things about him and about his family and his wife. And like Michelle Obama said, he actually put their family in danger because of the careless, reckless statements that he was making. And then, of course, he called our black athletes that were standing up for their First Amendment rights. And keep in mind, he took an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States. And, of course, that was the first time that I said that he should have been impeached for that when he tried to get the black athletes from expressing their First Amendment right and called them SOBs. And then, of course, the way he has denigrated women in the worst way, and particularly black women, including our beautiful, intelligent Vice President-elect Kamala Harris. Anytime, I just don't understand how a black man, and of course, and I might sound a little bit chauvinist when I say this, but I think the man has been charged with protecting his women. I think a man, that's one of his primary responsibilities. And anytime you got a black man that will stand beside somebody who tried to tear down our black women, he's not worth the salt they put in his bread.
Man, you really mean, bro?
How much salt is in bread?
So what?
Let me put an exclamation point on that, because I certainly feel the same way. I'm very disappointed in people who came out, such as whether it's Ice Cube, whether it's 50 Cent, whether it was
Lil Wayne,
Kate, Lil Wayne, and who was the other one that was already out there, way out there in the wrong
Kanye West
territory? These guys really, they have a lot to really answer for. No one, I'm serious about, I hate to have to boycott black people, but they really have a lot to answer for what they did in showing that they would be willing to support this man, as has already been eloquently stated with Joseph, how he ran it down. I mean, to denigrate the first black president of the United States and try to have the whole family killed because he was, and the fact that the guy actually paid for a full-page ad to call for the killing of black youth who were innocent, known as the Central Park Five. This guy took his personal money that he did not earn, that he had inherited, part of how he was blowing his daddy's money, and took out a full-page ad in the New York Times, young black guys who were innocent, five, called for their killing. So how can you do that? And then you're going to act like because of this lie that he had talking about something, platinum playing for the black community. How you going to believe what he's saying? How can you believe anything he said? So these guys, really, I have nothing else for them to do. I was very disappointed.
Yeah, I'm like I say, now keep in mind, I think they said, I know the first time Trump won, I think he said it got like 13% black men voting for him, and this time he might have picked up 2%, so 15%. So keep in mind, 85%, that's a big number. So we're just going to give a shout out to the 85% of the brothers who stood on the right side. And just don't focus on the 15% that lost their mind.
Right. We do have to also answer. I think the white community, really, because I have white friends, I'm sure I have some white supporters, and I just want to say to them right now, we're going to have to talk, because 58% of whites voted for Trump. That is appalling and disturbing to know, because this shouldn't even be about Republican Party. This should not be about race. This guy, he was doing things that would kill the American population without regard to race. And when this guy passed these bills like the Tax Cut and Jobs Act of 2017, when they give the 400 richest men the opportunity to have to pay less taxes than any other group, that's coming after all Americans who are not in that top 1%. So for whites to do that, it really calls some discussion. We really have to – there's going to have to be a serious discussion. I'm really concerned, because I'm not out here to try to act like racism exists if it doesn't. But to say that 58% of people voted for Trump in spite of the fact that he was doing everything he could to spread this pandemic, everything he could to go against every part of science and health imaginable. He did it. He was telling people to inject themselves with disinfectant. He was telling people to take medicine that had not even been approved by the FDA, told them to take it. You have nothing to lose. As if your life doesn't count. How can 58% of the people support that?
Curtis, let me say this. Even though that 58% sounds bad, which of course it is, but guess what? That's an improvement. Because most people don't realize it. Barack Obama never broke 40% of the white vote. Never. And even going back to, and I always like to go back to Harvey Gantt, of course, when he was the mayor of Charlotte. You know, he served two terms and, of course, he defeated in his third bid. But he never broke 40% of the white vote. So the fact
we've
that,
already decided, Joe. We've already decided any racist can get 45% of the vote right now. He ain't got to do nothing. He ain't got to do anything. He ain't even got a campaign. Any race can get 45% of the vote. The black person or a person of color, they're going to have to start from scratch.
But you know what?
But you know somebody who's going to come in with an automatic 45%.
But what I'm going to say, Kirk, that 13% over that 45%, because, of course, you know, Trump has always had that 45%. But I'm going to say that. But I'm going to say, and pretty much that's pretty much, pans out with what my guesstimates were. I think I told Leon the other day that I told him I guarantee at least 60% of white people voted for Trump, which, of course, you said was 58, which is, you know, close, you know, within the margin of error. That what my guesstimate was 60%. But I would say of that 45%, of course, they've been with Trump, you know, I mean, they've been with him regardless of what he says, what he does. But of course, but then you got that 13% that I'm looking at. I'm thinking that 13%, they knows the type of person he is, but they just voted for him out of selfish reasons. They might have benefited in some kind of way from that tax cut or some other policy out here that affects them.
And those are more understandable. Actually, they are more understandable. I said it might be more understandable because they have a personal interest. Other people are voting when they're voting against their own interest, unless racism is their only interest. That's the only thing that they could be voting for. But if we could come together and understand black, white, brown, and others who understand that we all being robbed.
That's
not
right.
Just robbing Peter to pay Paul. They're robbing Peter. They're robbing Petro. They're robbing everybody.
Right.
And so if we could come together on that.
Brothers, we have. I wanted to hear you brothers talk tonight. You and Curtis, Robert, you and Joe, Curtis. Want to hear you boys spar it out tonight, and you have not disappointed. But our time has run out, brother.
Oh, wow. That was good. That was fun.
Wasn't that good?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was beautiful, man. But I just want to tell everybody in parting, keep hope alive, guys. Keep working. We're still working here, man. We have an event planned next Thursday here in Waynesboro. Get out the vote effort, and a thank you for voting. We're very excited about the progress we made, but we don't want to stop. Start resting our laurels. We're going to make sure we keep hope alive. Keep the movement moving, man. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you guys for staying awake. Or they're going to say, staying woke. Thank you, brothers. I'm just proud to be you guys. Thank you, everybody out there, for listening tonight. Thank you. Come back next week. We're
by this being Veterans Day, and I do understand that we have various family members, and you yourselves could have been a part of, you know, the armed forces. We just want to take this time to thank you. We know a lot of times it wasn't easy, especially during the time having to deal with racism and so on and so forth. But we want to say thank you. We love you. To my brother Clyde S. Gatewood, to my brother Julius Cecil Gatewood, to my deceased and still loved and never forgotten brother Wade Gatewood Jr., we want to just say we love you and thank you for all you did in helping to defend us, even when we didn't know what was going on. Thank you. God bless you.
We thank you for not funking out and saying you had bones first.
Yeah, even though you were sent out on the, you were, y'all couldn't help it. You couldn't help the fact that we had people making the wrong decision in the White House.
Hey, Curtis Leon, and I will also want to tell you, brothers, anybody who made that sacrifice, you were not a sucker and you were not a loser.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah, how about that? Yeah.
Long way from it, bro.
It takes a sucker and a loser to say that.
Mm. Lord have mercy.
I think it's cool what the GOP Attorney General out of Arizona said. He said to Mr. Trump, he said it doesn't mean fraud because some people took the time to not vote for Trump at the top of the ticket and voted for other people at the bottom of the ticket. He said it doesn't mean voter fraud. That means people just didn't want to vote for you.